a blind eye to males, terribly treating women. It should be known, and it should be castigated. I mean, I've got a bit of a different perspective on this because back in my premarital times, there were a couple times I ended up on the wrong end of a knife in the bedroom from, screaming women. And it's like, yeah, it goes both ways. I was lucky. I have long arms. But otherwise.
What? A couple of times? What are you, John McAfee?
John McAfee. Hey, I'm just a country boy. That's all. Hey, see the hat? I'm a country boy. It's bona fide. No, there was, it was funny. There was a woman who I dated in the 80s and didn't date her very long. And she was, she had a great sense of humor when she wasn't homicidal. But she had kind of nudged on the marital thing, and I'd always said no. And, one day we're getting together and, zesty little time. And afterwards, she asked again, and I say no. And so she lunges at me with this butcher knife. And it's like, I wasn't dressed. It was a kind of a touchy time. But again, my long arms, and you kind of talk them down. Eventually, they put the knife down. You say, okay, we'll keep an eye on this one. I happened to run into that woman about 30 years later. I was at a folk festival in the D.C. area, and I've not seen her for decades. And she recognized me. She said, oh, hey, how are you? Thinking, oh, it's interesting to see you. Do you have a knife?
Hell yeah. So, I'd be asking that for show. This is... So what happened? Did she talk about she was going through a traumatic chemical imbalance of the disease or something at the time?
It was better. It was much better. So I sat down and said, so hey, how'd your life go? And so and forth. And she had gotten married, and, of course, she got divorced. She had a couple kids, and she had an 18-year-old daughter visiting her, and she apparently had shoved the daughter or done something to her that the daughter called the police and charged her with assault, and she was convicted for, violently assaulting her own daughter. I'm thinking like, oh, well, gee, I can't believe that.
No, dodge that bullet. Oh, dodge that blade. All right, well, I'm glad she missed. James Bovard still around, hepping us. More, we come back.
Are you tired of your taxes?
Oh, man, that's creative. You got
hell. I mean, she, and there was a second case of when I was in Boston, there was a woman I met and, went over to see her for dinner the next night. And, things heated up and we ended up in the bedroom and she was just a little too quirky. So at some point I said no further. And she pulls out a knife and starts screaming. And it's like, holy shit.
Man.
So, yeah. I've dealt with,
There are these, that was the impression that, I tell you what really scared me, what got me, I'm like, wow, during the Kavanaugh thing was when Cody Wilson,
he got vilified, yeah.
Yeah, when that happened, it was immediate, right when he's in lawsuits with 21 states, he's got the gun, the government hates his guts, they wait till he goes to, Taiwan or whatever it was, yeah. And I'm going, whoa. So that night, I did... a podcast, and me and Davi Barker and Bob Anderson, we just came in here and just yakking it, and I was so, every Me Too feminist whatever came out, and they just jumped all over. I go, what did he ever do to you? Was he ever even on the list? It was because a powerful, influential white male in the liberty movement again, and we're going to jump over. But that's what it is. That's why I'm going, what is it? And I thought they meant power. It's not just power of influence or power. That's what Angela was going on about. A lot of the guys' influence in the liberty community should be excommunicated because they're made excuses for these guys when they're really predators or they're inconsiderate or they're harassing and all that. And she won name names and out. And these guys, some bit. If you're starting to purge a bunch of people out of power, well, make sure you include these names. This guy. That's what was going on. Well, I'm going, okay, that's cool. The going after anyone because they are perceived to be in that position and accused before anything. They just go after it.
This is the thing. This is something which is I have a real issue with. The simple fact that someone is accused of being an abuser. Okay, my experience, I've not been accused of that. But if you look online, look at the feedback in some of my articles and other things, people vilify me up and down. I mean, I'm a son of a bitch 10 different ways, and I rarely respond to that. But it's like, okay, somebody might say, well, here's a credible accusation that this guy is ABCD. And it's like, yeah, well, bullshit.
Yeah. But what the phenomenon was, and what I want to talk about when we come back, is that the fact that they have privilege, and I'm going, it's power. And then it started, I get down to where it was actual physical power. They were, you know, they didn't have the physical ability to defend against a MAGO. Is that what puts you in this category? Well, it's that and all the other, you know, levels of power, economic power, influential, political, all this other stuff. And I'm going, okay, so it's the power that is the problem. And they want to balance it, and they'll use anybody as an excuse to do it, whether they're guilty or not, because they're thinking collectively.
Well, that's it. Thinking collectively. There were people I've met, you know, maybe I should save this for the show, but I mean, that's a very good point, and if we can come back to that.
Yeah, thinking collectively. No, we'll be back in 20 seconds, but, you know, yeah, it was a big epiphany because I kept asking why. What is that? I don't understand. Why are you so quick,
Cody Wilson,
to go?
I've heard criticism. I've never heard him accused of abusing women. Has he been accused of that?
No. It was, it was over a young woman because people of power want to be able to exploit and dominate less power thing.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
See, I'm the best air guitar on the radio. I can do that. Air guitar radio, Ernie. No. All right, James Bovard. Yeah, we're kind of yakking in the Asha. If you go to the top left of freedomsphoenix.com, you'll see the live streaming, so you get the conversation live in the break. And then, of course, I include that in the archive. But the we're just yakking about it. This power thing, it's a perception of privilege. You know, white men with some influence, boom, target. Why? Because they're white men with influence. It's not fair. It's they should be taken down a peg because these are the guys abused and what they think collectively. And anytime I see that, I'm like, what is behind that? There's something, you know, it's visceral, man. I mean, they get, and I'm like, whoa, man, I don't want that movement on me. So I'm just like, damn, you know, fortunately, a lot of guys like James, he gets to express himself. He's out in the open. He's out there. But when he has the comment section of you'll say anything positive about Kavanaugh or about me too, I guarantee you had a whole bunch of people commenting wanting to string up them some James. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something which I do in my blog often is do screenshots of some of the most hostile comments my articles evoke. And there's people that want to see me dead. There's people send me, you know, basically death threats by email or Twitter. If I write about a subject that's really controversial, then, you know, I see all kinds of folks making all kinds of charges. Almost all of them are BS, but, you know, this is life. I mean, you know, especially with social media, people are going to be, especially with the internet, people are going to be vilified. I mean, it's a transaction cost. So you just deal with it. You try and get a few laughs. You figure, is there a way to kind of, use this to make my point again, which I sometimes do. So, but going back to your thing about presuming a collective guilt, that's a real tricky thing because there are lots of bastards in every group. Actually, here's a story. I was hiking with Sierra Club a few times. I met this woman. She was actually from the New York City area. And, she was smart, but kind of a little edgy. And so I walk along with her one day, and she suddenly turns to me, asks me, why are all men bastards? And I said, well, all men? Are you sure? Yeah, well, all men. All men are bastards. And I said, well, I don't know that all men are bastards. And she says, well, it was men that did the Holocaust. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is not going to be a fruitful conversation. But she was upset because her ex-husband was late on paying child support. But it seemed like kind of a broad generalization. And I'm just, you know, there are good and bad in every group. And, you know, it's, you know, part of the reason there's so many abuses by government agents is because they have government enjoys sovereign immunity. And by the same standard, simply because someone is well known or comparatively well known. I mean, it's, you know, the whole notion of a famous libertarian is almost an oxymoron, except for Ayn Rand and a few others. But simply because someone has that visibility, the person should not have immunity. If the person wrongs people or is a horrendous abuser, yeah, fine, bring it out.
You know, this is one thing that MK Lords made a point of, is she goes, I go, what is the power thing? I don't get it. What do you care? I mean, you know, it's kind of like Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee, he's a big star, came to Hollywood from Australia, and he goes, I like America. Because they're not against success. They're like, hey, he's got a Rolls Royce. Let's go stone him, which is what's happening now. You know, back then he was going, yeah, they're going like, cool, good on you, mate. You know, I'll go get mine too. He liked that attitude. Well, what happened is she goes, power is when, abuse of power is when they can act any way they want and not fear repercussions. So what you're talking about, the federal agents and so on, they have the sovereign immunity. It's an attitude. They can do whatever they, yeah, screw you, you know, yeah, I'm going to, you know, beat the crap and whatever, and I got my body camera and don't care, and I'll get away with whatever, rehired at another police department. So and that's what she really kind of help me understand, is when people have a position where they don't have any likelihood of being punished for their ill deeds, that is why, you know, they kind of got this direct right to them, you know, got to get them for being, having that ability or something.
Well, I mean, if, as I was saying, if someone is being abused, if someone has been abuser, is being abusive, has wronged people, bring it out. But to assume that everybody who's visible is a scoundrel is, you know, that's kind of stretching it. So, I mean, it's interesting how toxic in some ways male-female relations have become in the last X number of years, because there's just, you know, you need to be, there's, you know, it's good that there's more of an onus against misbehavior, but there have been also a lot of false accusations.
Well, that demeans their credibility. I hate when it's like a political thing. They jump on it. They're so hard on it. And then it doesn't prove out to be true. So then when you have somebody that really, someone you love that really does have a problem, they're already not believed before they even talk. And they go, you have to believe them because they said it. No, I don't. I mean, give me something credible, you know, and I want them to have their say, but don't say just the accusation is the trial. I mean, you know, that's what they want, or some people do. I'm hoping that's not libertarians in that boat.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there were, you know, there were all these. Here's a funny element on the Christine Ford charges. I mean, once she came out, and then the second lady came out and said that Kavanaugh had wagged her, and then Julie Swetnick came out. There were all these protesters in D.C. that were holding up signs listing, stressing that they automatically believed Christine Ford, Ramirez, I think was the lady's name, and Julie Swetnick, and were marching around with all these signs. And then about a week later, after the NBC interview, they were just kind of holding up signs that left off Julie Swetnick's name. And I'm thinking like, well, last week you believed her. You just took her on faith. And I'm thinking like, you didn't have evidence to believe her then. And I mean, it's folks, you know, folks can use their own standards in personal lives. But as far as making public condemnations, okay, here's another step back on the Christine Ford thing. I mentioned that someone came to me and said, oh, I was assaulted by four people in 85 and then changed the story to two people in 82. I'd be like, oh, my, you know, not touching this one. From a libel law, you know, the standards of making that level of accusation based on the amount of evidence she presented and the lack of any corroborating witnesses, I would never touch that for libel. And libel laws sometimes go too far. They have been used to censor people. Trump is, well, anyhow, there's folks have tried to do that. But, I mean, there's a standard of evidence that people need to use before they try to destroy someone's reputation. And some people deserve to have their reputation destroyed. Bill Cosby, for instance. It's kind of spooky to see where this, to try to figure out where this avalanche is going to end.
Well, I don't see it as, I'm glad it's come out, but you don't really see what you really wanted, which was Weinstein prosecuted. He's sitting on vacation in New York, buying off whatever, and, you know, Hollywood's not going to get cleaned up any more than, you know, what it was before. It doesn't really, it's all directed, and the powerful still get off with this kind of stuff. They'll throw out some sacrificial goats or so on, but what is the real change? I think the idea that men, that was one of the points I wanted to make with Angela, is that men just need to be educated on what is consent. You know, the consent, there's an app for that. I mean, no, I want the, you're doing a selfie video that says, I am allowed to touch you, whatever, or do a we can be in kind of, and I got it documented to something. I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But I just need to know what the deal is. And, you know, for my grandsons, you know, granddaughters, you got to just let people know what is and is not acceptable behavior. If that, you know, evolves, I'm good with it, but just not as a political issue for votes and in this screaming with a megaphone at people.
This your family?
Yeah, I'm looking for solutions, and I didn't see solutions as much as I saw the emphasis on victimhood. It's like it's always somebody's a victim. You know, I'm looking for the not be a victim. You know, they're this is what we're doing because of this. It's kind of like preemptive minority report. We all men are potential rapists, so they must have their penis removed or something. And it's just that gave him some power. It's like Samson's hair or something. It's some weird attitude that I needed to try and understand because it wasn't based in anything I could really support or grasp. And I think I got a better understanding now.
Okay. So you think you understand it now?
I think I had, what I couldn't understand was this impassioned, bitter, you know, starting pistol launch into, and I'm going, what are you up against? I don't understand what is the trigger. It was power. And it's not just, you know, economic or political power. It was actual physical power to resist, and then it manifested in all these other things. And the fact they perceive that men have an advantage, that they're, you know, believed more, that they're, I don't know if that's true anymore, but, you know, that they...
Yeah, no, I don't think it is.
You know, that they have the ability to act without repercussions on how they made them feel. It's a feeling. It's a men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing. It's like...
Okay, the thing in the physical power, maybe we should touch back on that because, okay, if it's certainly possible for a guy to be a lot stronger if he's in good shape, but if a guy's in typical, you know, sloughing off and a woman's in very strong shape, I mean, I would not bet against the woman.
Yeah, so, no. There's especially if they got any training, it'd kick my ass.
Any training or, you know, whack the balls or whatever. I mean, it's like...
Or got a gun. And you got girlfriends with knives.
A simple derringer. A simple derringer, so...
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's just a perception of... They're going to get away with it again, those damn Klingons. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like bears. A bear's just a bear, man. He's not, you know, malicious coming out. He might want your salmon, and you might be in the way, or you look kind of tasty, but it's nothing personal kind of thing. Well, they are like, you know, all bears should be shot. Well, they don't want bears. They'd rather shoot men than bears, you know? So
I don't know if they want to shoot all men, but, I mean, it's just, okay, there are bastards.
Well, some of them.
They're male bastards. I mean, but... I'd much rather judge people as individuals.
Exactly.
I've known a lot of ladies. I've known a lot of fine men. And I'm speaking also of the libertarian movement. So, and there's also folks I've known that were darn rascals.
Well, see, that's what was surprising to me so much is that a lot of libertarian women that I know, not a lot, but I mean, you know, some that they gravitate towards the libertarian movement a lot of times because you're much more open, you know, in the libertarian movement about gender or sexual, nobody, they don't care, because it goes down to the individual. But all of a sudden, that same group, they don't look at individuals accused of anything as individuals. It's a class. It's men. God forbid it's white men. You know, white men with some money. It's, you know, and I'm going, what is the trigger on this? Why? It's just that perception that they can get away with it. And there has been a lot of evidence inside the liberty movement, you know, where there are powerful people in different positions, especially like Cato with a bunch of interns coming in and out. You know, they, hey, baby, what's up, you know? And then what is the level of harassment? What is perceived as a problem? All right, we're coming back. You can respond to all that.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. James Bovard, jimbovard.com. Jimbovard.com, he writes for everybody. You know, he's a regular columnist over at USA Today and American Conservative and the Hill, Washington Post, blah, 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 blah. He'd be famous and stuff. And we know him, James. All right. So this is, where do you see the future? I mean, a lot of this, I don't see that the, I'm wondering what kind of relationship it's going to have, the vote totals, this Me Too movement. And is it really, because you go and you scratch the surface on the Me Too movement, the people that started it are the rock stars of it. Hell, they were accused of molesting underage boys. You know, they got all their kind of problems. They're not going, this did not do anybody any favors. You know, the issue has come up. What role do you think it's going to play in the election cycle and the future for it? And what do you think is going to happen in this midterm election? Monologue me, man. Go.
It's hard to tell what impact it's going to have. I think if there was a backlash after a lot of conservative and Republican folks felt that Kavanaugh had been vilified, especially when Julie Swetnick piled on. There's a lot of angry women. I've gone to some of the, I've gone to two of the big marches in D.C. and did a lot of photographs. The favorite photograph I got from the first one the day after the inauguration was this sweet little college girl, and she was walking around with this big sign, and I asked if I could take her a photo, and she said, okay, and then she held the sign up to block her head. And I said, no, can you lower it? She said, well, okay. And then got a nice smiling photo of her. She had a great smile, and the sign said, cunts against capitalism. And it's like, okay, well, this kind of summarizes kind of the mindset of a lot of folks here.
Well, was she you know, taking it as when they Samantha Bee called Ivanka, you know, that word? Was she herself as a conservative or a liberal?
No, she was a left wing.
Now, of course, against capitalism, but I mean, you know, right. I don't know what she was really trying to say, being satirical or what?
No. Well, there's a tiny satirical touch, but I assume she was socialist and hard line and kind of clenched fists and all that. I mean, she seemed like a friendly lady, so, you know, eh. But I don't know what impact it's going to have. You know, there's a wonderful line from historian Henry Adams about 100 years ago. He said that politics is a systematic organization of hatreds. And we've been seeing this a lot in this country lately. I wrote a story. I went down to the big protest in D.C. about 2 months ago by a couple dozen white rights, white nationalists, nitwits. And there were thousands of counter-protesters, and the whole thing was a circus. But what struck me was just the level of hatred on both sides, and it's just so profoundly unhealthy for individuals and for society. So,
you know, an activist, a well-known guy, he and his wife are like a Donna and Ernie team, and he goes, the reason we work is that we hate the same things. You know, just what you're saying. You know, it's a hatred thing. Well, you find all the people that along with you, you hate the same things. You may not agree on anything else, but you hate the same things. I'm wondering if that's a binding influence.
Yeah, and I'm